who actually met in this class at New School called Radio Drama, which ended up being like a super
appropriate. Yes, here we are again.
So we had
we're gonna bring out a drama today. I'm a gold
digger and a digger. Hey everyone, this is Carrie Lee.
And this is Daniel.
And this is the Actor Hack Podcast.
Coming to you from Brooklyn, New York, and we have Amelia and Ben with us today.
Thank y'all for coming. Yes. We're so excited. This is our first duo interview.
Yeah, so. There's like so many people in this room.
I know, it's thrilling, truly. So, where are you guys from?
Well, I am from the Bay Area and moved to New York about 5 years ago. Went to school out here.
What school did you go to here?
I went to the New School.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what did you study?
I studied literary studies and writing.
Cool. So,
yeah.
Was it a specific type of writing or just...
Yeah, I actually did, I concentrated in fiction writing. I knew that I wanted to do narrative. Like, I was more interested in the idea of just narrative, and I thought it was a good place to root myself, and I just wanted to read a lot of books.
And so, where are you from?
I'm from Massachusetts, and then I went to a BFA in Chicago for 2 years, and then...
And what school was it?
That was Chicago College of Performing Arts.
Okay.
At Roosevelt University.
Okay.
And I liked it. It was a good program, but then after 2 years, I knew that I wanted something a little different. So I took a year off and I moved to New York since I'm from Massachusetts, but I didn't want to go home. And I had a lot of friends here. It was kind of a good place to figure things out. So I lived here for a year and then I didn't want to leave. But I knew I wanted to go back to school, so I applied to liberal arts schools, mostly in New York, but also still all over. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up going to the New School, which is
where
we met.
Oh, is that how y'all met?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and then I studied theater there.
Did you like that program?
I did. I liked it a lot. I think that the New School, you need to be looking for a certain thing. I don't think it's for everyone, but for me it was perfect because I already had a lot of training, and then I realized I wanted some context for the training. So for me, it was great because I was with professors who were really interesting and would introduce me to things that I wouldn't normally be looking mm-hmm. after. In terms of an acting program, it's like you have to make it yourself. You know, it's okay. it's not at all a BFA, but you can take a really strong class and you can work with really great actors, but you have to kind
it's
of carve
that
out.
Yeah, totally.
So like in Chicago, you felt like there was like a track and like you were constantly being pushed along that track.
Absolutely, yeah. And it felt like the students were really smart, but they only wanted to do acting in terms of a traditional route of, I'm going to become really, really strong, and then I'm going to go for Broadway. And right. there was not really any sense of, oh, I might be interested in playwriting, or oh, I may... That has shifted now. I mean, a lot of them are doing such amazing stuff. But education-wise, that really felt like what they were creating was really strong actors. Mm-hmm. But basic, just that.
But sure. You guys are now working on this web series. Mm-hmm. Have you guys always collaborated?
Yeah, actually, when we met, the first time we really like spent a lot of time together was during a show that I wrote, and Emma was the lead. I think it's fitting, and it was sort of prescient that like the first thing we did together was an artistic endeavor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And were you always interested in writing drama, or was that something that developed slowly from fiction, or?
I had written, I guess, more fiction and just more prose mm-hmm. throughout my life. So I hadn't really, it was the first time I also had to like write out a script like that, I think. So that sort of got me going in terms of like scripting stuff. And I'd always been interested in filmmaking. And
do you feel like your brain works differently when you write that as opposed to like a prose fiction piece?
Yeah, certainly, certainly. Writing with the intent of turning it into film or video or whatever. Yeah, it's so different. It's such a different experience for me than writing. Because when I used to write fiction, it was such a, not insular, but definitely like in my own, all happening in this universe mm-hmm. inside my brain. And I, even now, I think even more differently about it, that it's so interactive. You know, you're writing with people in mind. I mean, the actors are going to touch the script and bring it to life and change so much about it.
Mm-hmm.
Really, and then, you know, it's going to be edited. I guess it's more, almost more like drawing up a blueprint, like a specific blueprint. It's like writing a different kind of code or something, you know, because mm-hmm. you can't just feed it into a person's mind and have them conjure it all. You have
right.
to
and a lot of prose is a lot about how what you don't say, and
yeah.
like, and at a point you sort of give up control about that because
yeah.
like an actor is going to insert more into your writing than what you put there.
Although that to some degree is something that I think was really important when doing this show, Other People's Kids, that we're working on, because I don't know, I was talking to this friend who's an actor, he's like an older guy, he's like in his early 80s, he was talking about silence, and like he recently had worked on something that was so wordy that he felt like it kind of wasn't saying it, but it wasn't saying anything, and it was just, like, kind of garrulous, and I don't know, so I took that to heart, and I was thinking, you know, you can sort of use silence in a really nice way in film, I think.
So how did this idea come about for other people's kids?
We had both worked with kids and taught and, you know, had a lot of experience, so it's been in the making for a few years.
Because you nannied, right? Yep. Do you still nanny?
Not anymore. Okay. It's nice to have some distance, because there's a lot of stuff that we'd want to write that was too soon when I was still sitting, or like, couldn't quite. Yeah, so how did we go from the idea to...
I don't know, we were really excited by all this stuff that's been going on online, and just the possibility of that all, and that you can create really amazing stuff, and have it, there's this new space for it all to be. That in our personal, we had a lot of stories. I mean, we would just come home every day and be like, you know, what thing happened today? And like, you know, a lot of our friends, I think a lot of actors and a lot of people in this community do childcare as sort of a way to make ends meet.
And so what were you doing? Were you...
Also doing babysitting for a family,
So you guys had both all these different stories, because you were dealing with different...
And have, like, histories of, like, I used to be a camp counselor and stuff, and I used to babysit back home, and so we had all these stories, and I think it kind of just, like, was naturally coalesced. This would be something that would be really interesting.
Yeah, we got something here.
And I think people would be interested, and I think a lot of people would relate. Like I said, I think a lot of people are in this field, and also it's just really open for, like, lots of diverse options and different kinds of characters. And any type of story could happen, and we were really excited by the sort of boundlessness of it, I think.
A long time ago when we sat down, we were sort of thinking of it as like, okay, if we are both babysitters and we have these situations that we already know that we'll fictionalize, but how could we make a story about us, our types? And then, so we kind of loosely wrote, like, a pilot and loosely wrote, like, some form of where that could go with these two characters. And the more we wrote, the more we realized we were less interested in our characters and much more interested in the families. And we were like, how can we make it so that each episode is really about a family and not... And maybe the babysitter will be in it and that will be a big part of it. But we were less interested in us because we kind of know the young babysitter type, you know.
So, because y'all live together. Because y'all have that, I mean, would y'all like schedule meetings with each other? How does that...
We found it important to make clear distinctions of when was the right time. Not that we, that's the way we started, but we learned that that was a good way to go about it. And Thursday night after work, we'll get together, we'll have dinner and like talk about, you know, something specific, or we'll have writing meetings. Or
though that said, it totally is omnipresent, you know. It's impossible to not be laying in bed and then think like, oh, wouldn't...
You're not
gonna
write him
to
an
do?
Email like...
So it does come up pretty much all the time, but we have learned to be like, okay, we have to kind of turn that off right
sometimes
now.
We have to stop talking about the show.
Well, so when did it turn from we have this idea to this is actually happening, we're gonna shoot, you know, when did it really become a reality?
A little over a year ago. Do you have a specific...
I can think
moment?
Of like two times.
All right, you
I can
us.
Think of like sort of actually three times when it was like when it was like really manifested.
Okay.
Like I think the first time we kind of like made a pact. Emma's mom lives up in Massachusetts, and we were kayaking on the bay out there. And we were discussing the show, and we had talked about it, and we were like, we kind of made a pact that it was, like, gonna happen.
And that's when we came up with the name, too.
That's when we came up with the name, too.
So that got us juice.
So that got us.
And then I think the other two moments were hiring our DP.
Which, how did you guys do that?
Well, I put out on Facebook, we knew we wanted to work with a female DP.
And why?
Well, one, we've been, like, extremely conscious of how we want our set to be in every way, because it is low budget and it is very indie. We just wanted it to be a very positive and intentional set all the time, and we both worked with great DPs as actors, but we wanted it to be someone who could work with us and not just like do their job as a DP, but listen to what we thought, because you know neither of us were DPing, but we had ideas what we wanted it to look like. So we knew that was a characteristic they had to have. And then also I've just worked on so many sets with super talented dudes where it was so dude centric. And there was a lot of, you know, things just like words being thrown around, like, hey, babe, can you get that thing? And it's just like...
That, like, makes me, like, shiver.
I know. And, like, they might be totally wonderful people, but, like, I knew, like, we're working with kids, we're working with parents on set. I just wanted it to be a place where people felt, like, PC and comfortable and safe. I think we just thought if we start in a place where, like, we're giving somebody an opportunity who's, like, equally talented, obviously, then we're just already starting from a place where we know we're, like, good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes complete sense. And yeah. So then you put something on Facebook?
Yeah, so I put something on Facebook saying that we wanted a lady in particular. And then a bunch of people, like, tagged different people, you know. And so then we just came up with a few questions and emailed with a lot of people. And they were all really awesome. And then the one that we ended up working with, Olivia Kimmel, she's really awesome. Her email back was, like, hilarious. It was, like, we'd be, like, what kind of web shows do you like? And then she'd, like, put links to all these different things. And she'd, like, include, like, a picture. And, you know, she was so specific.
She said she went away out of town. Or we had emailed to communicate. Yeah. And she sent us a picture of her grandfather. She, like, yeah. sent us a picture of her grandpa. And her, like, it was just a cute
and
little...
And she was like, this is what I'm doing now.
Like, and you're like, we want to be out with you. Like, you're chill.
That she was clearly talented and just, like, a nice person.
Yeah.
And, like, this being our first major project... seemed like a really good...
And I think if everyone, since it is a low-budget situation, it's not worth it to work with people that you don't get along with.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like, we're all here because we love it.
Yeah.
Let's make this fun. Just because I don't know anything about this, so
yeah.
The DP would have been the first person you hire in a situation like this? Is that what made you guys say that's who we need first?
We knew that we needed to have good picture, obviously, because that was another thing that was important to us, was really good stories, interesting, well-written, and then we wanted it to look nice. Like, you know... That really had to be part of it. I think so often production value can be sacrificed in the interest of being expedient or, you know, getting things out there or what have you. And we really just wanted to make sure that it was visually beautiful.
And it's not sketch. Like, so many things are, like, they can be shot kind of janky because it's, like, really funny and it's
totally
quick.
Fine.
The style of the show, yeah.
But that we knew that wasn't what we were going for, so...
Yeah. And like you were saying, like, there's this whole new venue for things to come out, but what really sets something apart is how it looks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really can spend some time on that, then it would really elevate you a lot of it, because there is so much crap out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is something I really want to pay attention to.
You posted a still, or maybe it was just like a promo for it, and it looked like, I immediately saw it and I was like, that looks fucking awesome.
Oh,
like, it definitely, like, was above so much web series stuff that I see now. So I think you guys making that a priority is so smart.
And so did you invest in a lot of equipment? I mean, what did you film on? Or
well, so it kind of worked out in our favor. We were going to rent. We had our DP, and she has, she has a camera, and she has DSLR, and does that. We kind of all agreed that it'd be better to shoot on something more professional, and so...
Yeah, so I've just worked with him before.
Yeah, Emma knew a guy, and he had a lot of equipment.
Cause he has a production company.
He's part of a production sort of collective.
I got really nervous about insurance stuff since we were working with kids.
Yeah.
That I just wanted to make sure everything was, like, legally done properly. And I think it was a friend or someone recommended that we work with a production house because they will already have insurance. Because I looked up insurance if we were just to do it, and it was, like, through the roof.
Yeah, that sounds crazy.
For a month. It was, like, a few $1,000s just to be insured in case something happened. So it was, like...
Oh, my God.
I know, but I really wanted to have insurance, but, like... Come on, that would be like half our budget. So then we were looking at houses, like production houses. I think we
knew Gabe,
yeah,
and
Gabe
we knew
Stanley
his rental,
is our
like
guy.
We knew, and he was going to rent us out his equipment at a good rate. And then we figured with insuring all the equipment and renting the stuff, it would have cost like way too much.
Yeah.
So then we thought, you know, hey, what if we just got Gabe on as a producer, and then we were covered by his insurance, and then all we had to do was pay, you know, the rental fee and a production fee. We did the math, and it still was less than having to insure it and be outside. So then we had the benefits of having a producer on board, who, you know, got us some permits and stuff when we needed. And
it's great that you guys don't have to, like, think about that, because that's, like, the boring stuff.
I know.
Yeah.
That you have to have.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Just going back, what was your third thing that you said?
So the third thing was getting, and it ties back into what we were talking about, was getting, I think, crowdfunding. Like, as soon as we put the message out and people started giving us money.
Anytime. Support the arts.
So when people started giving us money, I mean, we had it all at that point, you know, we had it down and we were ready to go.
How did you come to the decision to do the crowdfunding? Was that sort of a given, like, this is how we'll get our money, or do you talk about other things?
I think because the level of support we thought we would have from our communities We thought we could get the initial batch going with crowdfunding. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I think we always...
And then we kind of, our plan has always been to like start off from there and then, you know...
Private funding.
Move on to the yeah. next the thing. Future. Yeah, and see if we can secure funding some other way.
Well, when you have a product to be like, look, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
I think you can get sort of the bigger money people.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because they know that you're legit.
And people really came through for us.
From hiring the DP, who next did you hire?
So then we talked to her about getting a sound person. Because we wanted it to sound good.
That was our other, like, on par with how well we wanted the picture to come out. We really knew that sound was crucial because, I've seen great films that didn't sound good and I've been in stuff. There's nothing more frustrating, I think, as an actor, or one thing very frustrating as an actor is, like, right, when you see something you're in and even if it looks great and you can't use it because it doesn't sound good. And I think it really just takes you out of it in a way if the audio isn't working. So we really were like, in fact, it almost was maybe even more important than picture quality.
Yeah.
We thought we really wanted to have good sound. Yeah. So we knew we had to get a sound engineer.
I think we asked around a little bit, but then our DP had a good friend and she was like, he would match your vibe. So then we hired him and he was great.
How much was written before you guys started shooting?
Well, we've written quite a few and then we picked the strongest ones or like the most developed ones. Mm-hmm. And we budgeted for a little bit more than we made, so it, which thank God we did, because it's always more expensive than you think. So we knew we wanted at least the three that we are putting out right now, and then we have like a lot of almost done.
Yeah, we have some, you know, a lot of like partially formed things that we want to like develop further. And
yeah,
how long is each episode?
They average about 10 minutes.
Do you guys have a number for how many in this season will happen?
As many as we can fund, really. I mean, so we've got three, and then we're gonna try and fund them a la carte. And just do one at a time. It'll be easier to fund that way and also easier production-wise.
Yeah. We were, like, super ambitious with our filming schedule. And we really, like, did them in a row. As in, like, 5 days in between most of them. It was a lot. And I think for starting, that was... In retrospect, I would have done it differently. But at the time, it was probably good to just be, like, in crazy tech week type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for a while. Yeah. But it's going to be really nice to be able to do them just intentionally. Chunk by chunk.
And so how many days would one take to shoot?
We did 2 days for each one.
Okay. Including like...
Do you guys have a location scout or do you guys do that yourself?
We did all that.
Yeah. Emma did lots of legwork for that. In the third episode, it takes place in a chess venue.
Chess match, yeah.
In New York. And so Emma just went all around and finally chess place and just called them and they were really nice. And
yeah.
It's not the one in the West Village, is it?
It's not that one but I used to babysit a little boy who was really into chess. So I would go to chess meets with him. So that gave us the idea of this setting and everything. And then since then, it's totally changed. He would go to that place in the West Village.
Oh, okay.
And so I wanted to do it there, but it's like fancy.
Yeah.
So we couldn't do it there, but we got a really great place and they were so sweet. And they were like, we're going to be on camera.
Ah, cool.
Yeah. And the thing that's really hard is that since a lot of these stories are like presumably well-off families in New York, because if you have a full-time nanny or whatever the case is, so we couldn't shoot in like our friend's apartment because then it's like, oh, you can tell you're 20 something and like,
right.
It's not, even if they have a cute place, it's not like a family of four.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was a little bit more reaching out friends of friends. And
how did you guys?
We did a few, like a family I used to babysit for, and now the boy is a teenager, and they let us use theirs. And they were away for the weekend, and they're like, "Just take the place." Like, so sweet. And
then this other in the first episode, that apartment we used was a family that my mom actually knew. Like, they went to summer camp together. They were really gracious and let us use their place, and like, just were cool with us camped out in their house for 2 days.
They were so sweet.
Just being off in their room while we just like took over and, you know, moved everything around. They were really cool and nice. So it's just, like, again, more, it was just another way that community support was really helpful too, you know, reaching out. And
totally.
We luckily didn't have to rent. I mean, we toyed with the idea of renting stuff, but I mean,
also we were like Craigslisting.
You know, like,
right. Yeah. Did that end up?
Oh my God. So I looked on Airbnb for our price range. Like, let's say we wanted to spend a few hundred for the weekend. It would be like a tiny ass place in the West Village. Or like, you know, it's just none of it would work.
And then we weren't sure also about like whether it was okay to shoot in that.
Yeah,
and, like,
right.
A lot of places, you know, they're like, no parties or no. And it's like, well, what about like a film crew of 8 people with like all this equipment and huge boxes and like all this crap?
And then I found some on Craigslist that were like super swank, like condos in the Midtown West. Mm-hmm. And one of those I thought would work. And then it was clearly one of those things of like, just wire me the money, and you know, and you're right. Like,
the crew was 8 people, is that?
Or that would be like cast and crew. Well, the crew was really only 2 people. I mean, our
it was
sound.
And you and me, and Olivia, our DP, and Alistair, our sound dude. And then we would often have a friend
or two
be a PA.
Yeah,
and
so
then
cool.
actors, and then the child actor's parents or a parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how did you guys do the whole child actor thing? Like, what was that like?
It was really fun.
Yeah,
that
it was
so
good.
Cute.
They were really, all the kids were really enthusiastic, and they were like fun to work with, and the parents were really chill. You know, it was like they were used to sitting around and waiting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good.
We did like actors access for the most part, and then just held auditions. Not only did we want kids who were like fun to work with and chill, but like their parents were such a huge part of it because they were going to be there and they were going to have some insight. And so we really lucked out with good parents.
Yeah.
They were all
that was
really
cool. Almost. And I mean, they worked long days. I mean, we shot, you know, we were shooting 12-hour days and, you know, we had snacks and stuff, but I mean, they could have easily melted down and no one did.
Some of them were like 7 and it's just like they barely can read, let alone like learning lines. So
do you edit it then?
Yeah.
As far as post goes, is that, do you guys need anyone else or can you just kind of do the whole post?
I'll edit it. And then when I'm done, when I have the picture locked, we have a colorist who's been really helpful. He's a really nice guy, Matt Grigo. We met on another shoot that I was acting in and he was the DP and we were just talking in between takes, and it came up that he was trying to get his color career going because he's got a production company and he's like trying to do
his
more
color career.
Yeah,
it sounds like it's a flag waver.
I know.
The color guard.
He's been
everything
so
just
sweet.
Pops so well, and like he's got like, I don't know, I'm learning a lot about that aspect of things and how that can like palettes and how you can sort of like what you can invoke from different color schemes. And then also we have our sound engineer has also doubled as our sound mixer.
And post, I think, was way more expensive than we had anticipated.
Yes.
Totally did not.
Are you renting a space? Or are you doing it at home? Or
no, they... Well, you edit
I'm just
home.
Cutting it on my MacBook,
Final
Cut Pro. I mean, I probably should have a second monitor, but it's working really well. And, but then, so we're just really just paying
fees.
For...
I mean, they give us, deals.
But we've been getting
still.
Like, we got a deal, you know, we were able to get a really good deal.
Yeah.
But even so, like, I mean, I know that color correction can cost, like, an arm and a leg.
They say a feature's cost, color correction
like,
is more than a 4-year college tuition for one feature.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Specialized skills, kids.
I know. Like, get into the coloring business.
It's a really good
join the color guard.
Money-wise, that's a thing, but... Because it's like an indie thing, even though we try to do everything as organized and professionally as possible, there have been days where, like, one of the shoots, it rained a Saturday, and so we had to do much more on a Sunday, because there were outdoor shoots. So then it got later in the afternoon, and the sun was going down, and just things weren't reading as well. But there was nothing really we could do, and because the kids go to school, we couldn't just shoot on Monday. It was, like, all of this stuff, we just had to get it. And it's the difference between having it be like, well, that scene is pretty much black, or wow, you can totally see it and it's a real scene again.
Yeah.
It like makes that difference.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, he pulled it out, like, it was when I was editing it, even it was like, so it was like the sun was setting and it just was like we were really worried about it, and then he was able to like pull so much life out of the scene that you can see what's going on. And
yeah,
so
that's amazing.
So the guy that y'all were renting from,
yeah,
is that how y'all knew exactly what equipment you needed, or
we
how did you
to Olivia
that?
And we basically said he sent us his list of what he owns, and then she just said we'll need this, this, and this. And then there were things where maybe we'd say, oh, on this shoot we'll want an extra light, but this one is going to be mostly outside, we don't need to rent that.
And she would do the walkthrough and make sure it was all the things we needed. And
if people are making something and they don't necessarily have like a producer friend or someone to rent from, we did consider renting from Adorama and places like that in the city. You totally can, and it's very similar prices. The only thing that we, obviously the reason why we didn't do that was because you do have to be more strict about like when you take it out, when you bring it back, you know, you have to be a little bit more on their terms, obviously.
So then do you guys both direct the episode?
We picked. So the first one I was in and Ben directed, mm-hmm. and then Ben was in the second one and I directed it. And then the third one we kind of co-directed. I sort of directed it more, but I'd say in post you did more.
What's the dream?
I think it would be to make more, just like to make as many as we can and to get private funding for them. So whether that means like working with Vimeo or working with
That'd be my dream.
Yeah.
Because I think if Vimeo was like, guys, this is great, please make more on our dime, and we'll show them here.
Yeah.
Are they on Vimeo? Like, mm-hmm. they host them without, you know, being affiliated at all, but that's...
Yeah.
Okay. Right. We just host them there, yeah, and...
And what was the process for that? Can you just upload anything?
We have a pro membership.
Okay.
So it costs more because they expand the amount of stuff you could store up there, and since our videos are like larger files, like we didn't, since we had color corrections done, like we didn't really want to compress them too much. They give you something like 20 gigabytes a week of upload,
but if you have a smaller file, you, it's like YouTube, you can just
up to that amount.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then it resets every week, and so we're hosting on there. We have our own website too that Emma designed, and we wanted to have a nice, you know, like a nice, like clean, just like easy space you could go to view, you know, since it is going to be seen primarily online.
Did y'all do the logo, or did someone?
We hired a friend who's an artist.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he did that. Yeah.
It's really cool.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Emma's friend, Erin Dana, is a really great illustrator.
Yeah.
Because it's like an upside down, like, cone, right?
Yeah,
an
ice cream cone,
yeah.
Although that was our concept, though.
And you mentioned filming outside. Are there, like, permits involved for that, or no?
Yeah, so we got permits. I can't remember, like, if you really need them for every... I think when you have a permit, it's good. If you're going to have, like, a big shoot with, like, a bunch of stuff...
And if you take up sideways,
if you take up space, I think there's rules about blocking sidewalk.
Right.
And if you're going to, you know, put a tripod down or whatever and have sort of... We shot a lot in Washington Square Park.
Do you have to worry about people in the shot doing any sort of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Waivers and
stuff? People are kind of... Oh, actually, so if you're out in public, you can just film anything. And if someone's walking down the sidewalk and you're just, like, they're in your movie, like,
that's
allowed.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
As long as you're not filming into private property.
So if we were on the sidewalk and we were filming you, sidewalk, I'm sure there's, like, legal stuff, but if we were in a park and we were filming you, it'd be fine. But if we were in the park and we could see into someone's backyard and their kid was playing, that would be illegal.
Gotcha.
But if you're in a public space, which is really nice because, like, playground-wise. And but we did tell people, like, this is what we're doing if you want to scoot out.
I mean, and there's always, like, you know, the walk by, you know, people who like to, like, rubberneck.
Like, or cars that honk, and you're like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, we had some people, some people go by in their car and ruin scenes by being like, woo!
Like, you're really proud of yourself.
You'll make another final cut.
You're gonna be a star.
We were setting up in this area, and, like, as we're getting set up and bringing our stuff over across the park, like, all this equipment, this, like, theater troupe was, like, starting to warm up there.
God, those theater troops.
So there were 30 people just, like, dressed in, like, all
in black. And they're gonna do a performance.
So I was like, you guys. And we
Till 9:30. I love that so much.
They didn't harangue us or anything, even though, you know, we took longer than we said we were going to take, because, oh wait, everything was there.
Yeah.
But so they were really nice, though, and they just decided to practice over.
I'm sure in the background, though, you can see, like, someone stretching in black.
Yeah, probably.
You know, I'm sure.
I hope you can.
Yeah, I hope so. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
And then the worst, like, in terms of coexisting.
Oh my God. So when we were filming in the Chess place, it was a Sunday, and they closed down, like, we had the whole space. It was amazing. We were like, oh, great. And then we filmed for almost half the day, like the full morning. And then suddenly at like 11 or something, 11:30, we heard like, like so loud that we couldn't shoot. Like it was like really loud. And then we realized that there was a brunch club underneath, like a club was serving brunch. So there's like a long line of girls.
Well, only after we, like, investigated, we realized it was a brunch club.
A brunch club.
That exists.
Yeah. I was going to be like,
yeah,
hold
of course.
On.
Sorry.
So it was, like, full club, Sunday morning, happening.
So you're, like, eating your Eggs Benedict.
Exactly.
And, like,
It was just, like, the floor was, like...
Yeah, really.
Yeah, and we were just like, well, there goes all of...
like all of the sound,
everything. We were actually kind of like terrified because there was nothing we could do, but it was actually really sweet. It was kind of a moment of unity because everyone on our set was like really pissed off. my friend who was PAing at the time went down, and our DP went down, and like they were just going to like kick some ass.
Talk to the bouncer.
Went past the guy. Yeah. I was like, please don't get arrested. And yeah. Even the dad of our kid actor was just like, well, I'm gonna go down there and give them a piece of my mind. it was really sweet. Everyone like really cared.
That's really endearing. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Of course, they like wouldn't. You know, do anything about it.
I think they turned it down. They said, but it was we'll turn it down. It's so club. No, so.
Yeah. So it was a mess, but it ended up being fine, and we kind of shot through it, and did some creative staging, and luckily, stuff. We got most of the dialogue out of the way. Yeah. And a lot of it was like silent stuff, so we kind of did luck out, but it worked a challenge at the time.
Well, I mean, who would plan for that?
Exactly.
Oh, you know, you gotta have the brunch club.
The venue might have mentioned that.
And how have you guys been advertising and stuff?
Well, so far we have done very little for it. We've just been sending it to like our people and having them send it to their people and stuff like that, word of mouth. And I think once the third one's out, we'll be blasting our PR through like blogs and that world, like the online world. And it's kind of funky because I think we'll go to like some blogs that are for young people and some blogs that are more parent age. Like it kind of is in between genres. I mean, I think that it's more for young people because that's my perspective, but I know that parents have watched it and liked it. So, you know, I think we'll just be exploring.
Yeah. We could target
different, because it's hard to be like, watch the show. There's one, you know,
Totally.
But if you can kind of binge.
One of the compliments we get from a lot of people is like, where's more? Like, can I watch more? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm ready to see more stuff. So,
yeah.
Oh, that's really exciting.
Yeah.
That's such a wonderful.
It is really nice, yeah. And so I think once we have all three, we're going to, like, sort of hit the ground running a little bit more.
Yeah. When you mentioned, like, our plans for the future, I don't know exactly how many we'll make in this cycle or whatever, but it does feel like the kind of thing where, because these are a la carte, and so far the plan is that each story is a new family and a new sitter. We want to really establish that. So I think we'll feel that the cycle is done once we've really established that there's like many different types of babysitters, like some full-time nannies and some one-time sitters. And once we really explore that, then we can have people maybe reoccur or maybe not. But until we establish that, because I think a lot of times people are like, so when is your character coming back? Or is yours friends with that one? You know.
When you guys look back of like when you guys first started, what were the big gaps in like what you expected it to be like? And what it ended up being like? And, you know, any sort of mistakes?
Everything costs more than one would think, and posts cost more than one would think. We just did not know how hard it was going to be, but that's probably good. You know, like, I don't think we would have done it.
Yeah, you might not have done it.
Yeah.
It's like when you, like, can't your body the way you forget, like, pain as a sensation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talk about it like we forget childbirth, you know, so that you have another kid. We're like, it's like
exactly,
that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But I'd say we probably could have given ourselves more time for each episode. We scheduled them very close together because we thought insurance-wise, originally, we were like, well, we'll be insured for a month, so we'll do them all in a month. And then once our situation changed, I think we were on a roll, so we were like, let's just keep it this way. I think we could have given ourselves more time. One of our biggest things whenever we've like talked with friends or people that are making them is that unfortunately we didn't get to pay everybody, and in the future we'd love to. And so we made sure that the set was like super respectful of their time, and we fed them like really well. We spent a lot on food so that it wasn't just like, oh, here's some pizza, you're tired after 12 hours. But we made sure that everyone like always felt catered to, and I think that helped a lot. I think that was like a big thing, because then people were like, oh, we're happy to be here. We got a bagel with anything on it. You know?
I think we've all been on sets, indie shoots and stuff, where like either they don't feed you and you're there for kind of a long time, and you're, you know, everyone's kind of doing it for. But then I think that sort of alienates everyone from like into. I'm doing this for my own, you know.
Right.
I do want anyone to do it for their real. Like you can have it for their real, but like but do it because it's a good experience.
But yeah, and you want to be a part of this thing, and so I think that was really important for us to keep everyone sort of like united in the same cause, that we're all trying to make this thing and we're trying to make it good. And And part of that was making sure that, like, they were, you know, for their time and effort, creative effort and just, like, practical effort from just getting up and getting there, that we had, you know, like, just nice food and coffee and water, you know.
Yeah, just, and it's just sort of like a respect thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's it, really. Just
makes
just
all
respect.
The difference.
Yeah.
So you act as well?
So I haven't always acted, definitely not as much as Emma, and definitely, like, much more, like, bastardized route. Like, I'm not trained at all.
And you do a lot of improv.
That's true, yeah. And then since I've been in the city, I've been doing...
Where do you usually do it?
People that I've met at UCB and just, like, indie team stuff. I even think of acting. I come at acting from more writing perspective, too. I think of my acting as kind of, like, I don't know, just another tool, I guess, that I'm going to have in when I make movies and when I make things. And, like,
and then you can talk to actors better.
Yeah, exactly. Then. Yeah, I think that's really important, too, because, like, Emma has this, like, extensive vocabulary for being able to communicate with actors. And yeah, I'm trying to grow mine too, because I think that's like...
A lot of times in film, directors so often are trained in film school and they know so much of the technical world and they know what they want their actor to be like. But because I have more of a traditional theater background, like so many actors in school are trained for theater. Less, you know, maybe you'll take like an on-camera class, but it's... Mm-hmm. It's like a theater program most of the time. And when I first started doing film stuff, even just like student stuff or small things, I was shocked with how little, not even just rehearsal, like it's fine if we don't have rehearsal, but just in theater, it's like, let's talk about everything. Let's try all these things. And I love that, obviously. And then when you're on set, when a director's like, we're going to do this shot and this shot and this shot. And then they're like, so do it again, but just a little more. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, what?
What does that mean?
Yeah, like, yeah. So it's... Yeah. I really like directing. I know less of the technical stuff, obviously, but I like being able to talk to actors like an actor and say what I felt was really strong or, you know, like, that's been fun about directing. But I also realize when I direct how much more I have to learn, you know, on the other side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're still, you're auditioning right now. Is it for just anything and everything or are you focusing on anything right now?
Well, I'm focusing on film, but it's anything and everything.
Are you repped or do you do it independently?
Independently. I have a commercial agent and right now I'm looking for legit. I finally feel like I'm ready to delve into the acting world again in a legit way. I feel like making OPK was a big push of like, okay, you're in the world, so you gotta be in the world now, you know?
Yeah.
Before it was kind of like, oh, I have all different day jobs and I will kind of do this and that. Mm-hmm. But now I feel pretty submerged. Mm-hmm. So now I feel like I'm ready for that and bigger things. For a long time, I felt like I was like, oh, am I more of a writer, creator? Am I more of an actor? Like, among actors, I kind of feel like a writer, director, and among writer directors, I'm like, oh, I'm an actor. Mm-hmm. So now I'm just trying to find that balance of that I can be both, or, you know, it's not, it doesn't have to be cut and dry, but it took a while to accept that.
Yeah, adjust to that thinking.
Yeah.
What are y'all's jobs right now?
I'm still babysitting these people. I'm sort of at the end of my babysitting career with them, though.
Okay.
As the boy, they're two boys, and they're getting too old.
They don't need you anymore.
Yeah, they don't need you anymore. They're like looking way ahead. I'm not sure where things are going to go, but... You know, just trying to keep an open mind and, like, just make sure that I'm jamming with my creative life.
And you guys are continuing to write more episodes or develop further the ones that you have?
Yeah, the game plan is to be... So we're almost done with post on this one. It seems like
on
it's
the third,
dragging
yeah.
out. Yeah, yeah, so we're, like, really excited to jump back into, like...
How creative. Do you guys work together as writer? Is it very collaborative, or do one of you are more of a...
I think one of us usually takes a lead on it. Mm-hmm. Like, one of us will come to the other one, come to the meeting with, like, hey, I've got this. Usually I think one of us will have the genesis, and then the other one will really help just, like, shape it into what it becomes.
Yeah.
Will you tell people how they can find the series?
Yeah, so it's called Other People's Kids, and you can go to opktheseries.com.
Cool.
Or vimeo.com/OPK the series.
Do you guys have a Facebook page for the...
Our handle for everything is OPK the series.
Cool. So we are coming up on the end. I don't know if I explained to you the hacks that we like to do. And I do this every time. I'm like, Daniel, do you have yours
we'll
for this
first,
week?
Yeah.
That's cute.
Well, I guess I'm going to harp back on something that you guys mentioned about creating a good environment for your project. Because a lot of times people will go into a project thinking like, oh, well, you're getting exposure and you're getting a resume item out of it, but they can really get that with any project. Yeah. It's like, what is going to make your project fun and exciting for them and make them have a good time and tell their other friends, like, you should really work with them. Yeah. You should make that experience as good as possible, as fun and stress-free and respectful as possible. It's not just about the work, it's about making the work as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and I would actually go back to y'all's process, and it sounds like you guys were really good about hiring someone when you didn't know how to do something. Because I'm really bad, like, if it were me, I'd be like, I'm gonna go take a coloring class, and I'm just gonna do that, yeah. And like, you know, like, I'll figure it out. Yeah. But I think it's really smart to identify what is not your area of expertise.
Yeah.
And bring someone on board, and then, you know, just even like with the equipment, like knowing, you know, the DP will know what, rather than doing research on your own and getting the wrong fucking camera, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
So that would be ask when you don't know.
Yeah,
that would be
yeah,
mine.
That's a good one. Along with what you were saying about kind of outsourcing, also I was surprised how often when we asked places if we could shoot there for free, they would say yes. So I would say just also
that's a really good asking. One because that's so surprising to
yeah
me.
It's so mm-hmm. surprising, and it's also really scary because it's like, you don't know me, like, I'm just like, hi, I'm an actress. I could not be, you know, like, you
yeah.
don't know me. But it was surprising how nice people were when we were just like, this is our project, this is our idea, we're low budget but we want to do it well. And people were super responsive.
Yeah.
So I think if you're making a web series, you can totally go in with that attitude and you'll get more than you would think.
You got one for us?
Don't wait to think about music till the end,
yeah.
which is what I did. Which is sort of even, I felt like silly about it because I think about it all the time. What, like, when I listen to music, I like see a lot of like, I see like film scenes happening anyway. But I like doing all this post stuff, I caught up to myself with realizing like, oh, I'm going to need to get this licensed if I need a song.
Yeah.
You can't just throw a great song in there.
Yeah.
You can't just like go ahead and throw in, you know, the Arcade Fire and it's all good.
Yeah, right. No, we don't say anything.
You know,
yeah.
Hey, no big deal. So,
what did you guys
that.
Do about
so,
that?
So, I was looking through songs I knew of bands that were known and looking at, like, you know, and you have to contact the publishing company and then the publishing company has to contact the band. In the end, you know, I thought it was better just to like hit up indie bands. People that you know that are in bands or friends of friends or just like, there
SoundCloud.
Are plenty of great
There's
indie
one.
Bands around that would love to have their song in your show,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's a good mutual thing. And luckily, yeah, like, I have some friends.
Yeah, we did a lot of friends of friends.
Yeah, and then we also, like, another friend of ours was like, hey, I'm friends with this other band that's kind of known in Brooklyn, and so we were able to, like, use a Darling song, which was really cool.
Oh,
and,
that is cool.
But it's really nice when you can get it to work like that. So, I just say, think about music and, like, get on top of that.
That's great. Yeah. And it actually is a perfect transition because the music that we use for the podcast is by a girl that I had known just from doing a show. She played the ukulele and she had her own
nice.
Band, and I thought about it and I was like, hi, there's this thing that, can we, you know, play your song? I think
yeah.
it's really cool. And she was lovely. So the music that you're listening to is Sweet Soubrette's All That Glitters from the album Days and Nights.
I pictured it was you.
Wait,
when
what?
The music, like the intro music.
You thought that was me? Well, I took a class. And
it's really nice. Just give me a keyboard and we'll figure it out.
Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for being here.
Yeah.
So wonderful.
So fun.
And if everyone could go to the website, www.classactorhack.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram.
You should subscribe to us on iTunes and write us a review. We would love you forever.
Absolutely.
And you can email us at actorhackpodcast@gmail.com.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
If anything, my mother will listen to it.